I thought that Jameis looked good.
Whoa, hold on. Let me make sure I'm recording.
Yes, that you need to save that clip to use it as a permanent clip.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Network of Podcasts. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drinking tonight. Don't know why, I've just been tired lately. I hope I don't have COVID. Maybe I'll go get tested. Anyway, what do we got? One preseason game down, two to go. I really am enjoying the fact that there's only three preseason games and not four this year. But on this week's episode, we are going to get Jason, Scott, and Gunn's reaction to what they saw against Baltimore, along with their feelings on the Saints shopping at the Dollar Tree for talent. We also have some Look at Him tweets, return of Look at Him tweets, yes.
Wow.
And we're going to point out what we think is worth looking out for in the next preseason game against Jacksonville. So it's not necessarily a game preview, Saints preview. It's just a little kind of maybe like after what you saw, what is the next thing you're looking for? The next step in the progression, competition, position battles and whatnot. And then stick around for those of you who are fans of the MCU and Disney Plus's Loki. We're going to get everybody's thoughts on what they think about Loki. So maybe we'll keep the episode relatively short. We have a little bit of news to talk about. And then we'll do the credits. And then, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Loki in its entirety and our general over feelings of that. Scott, you look confused. Do you know who Loki is?
I do. I'm just trying to remember. It's been so long since I watched it.
3 weeks later.
Well, then why don't you jump into, get yourself a Tempad and go back to, yeah, isn't that what they're called? Tempads?
I don't know.
I don't remember. Sounds like,
well, they, yeah, that's what they use to create their little doorways.
That's their TARDIS.
Okay.
So Doctor Who fans know what I'm talking about. All right, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I go with about a two.
Yeah. All right.
I did have wine with dinner. I did have one glass of wine with dinner. that's kind of standard.
Classic, Jason.
It's kind of standard. It's not, right. You know, they say it's a glass of wine a day is supposed to be
wine down Wednesday.
Right? See, it works. It works.
All right. Scott, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm about a one. Some Michelob Ultra infusion with cactus pear and lime that Jeff refers to as potpourri beer.
Yeah. What is that?
It tastes like really potpourri. Good.
It doesn't.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
Yeah. It's a cactus.
It's like a Corona with beer. A lime in it, no. Basically. Well, yes.
And then add potpourri.
And then you get Corona.
All right. Gunn, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a zero.
Oh yeah, no
decimal point. You know, I'm always brought to you by the LSU Ag Center. I'm supposed to. That's what the label says,
right?
Gives me instructions.
Well, yeah, you actually you're directed by your doctor.
That's correct.
That's right.
I think it says every day. I don't remember.
So it's working. Must say it's working good.
I'm here. I'm excited to be here. Who's gonna kick the ball?
That's the question of the week, I believe. What are we?
I think I've seen Jason kick a field goal before, yet,
right? Who's going to kick a field goal? Who's going to kick the ball? Are we not going to kick?
I don't know.
Just going to go for it every fourth down and that'd go be for cool. an extra point.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Why not? So it's preseason.
Here's what we're going to do, though. We got to start to get into our kind of season rhythm where we have our segments and we talk about things in a semi-structured way. But what I'm thinking about is we did the instant reaction, the two-point conversion instant reaction right after the game. We talked about the game. Then the BS and Beer published their episode. Well, we're recording on Wednesday. There's published
this morning or last night. Yeah,
last night, this morning. Yeah. They did a big game recap on theirs. I think for the and there's a lot of people who listen to all the shows. So I don't want us to just be a repeat of the of two game recaps.
Did
so
you say Pete and Pete?
I said this is 3 weeks in a row. So what I want us to do, we're going to do a game recap segment, but I don't want to do it in the traditional game recap sense. And I want everybody to maybe give a little bit of, some of the listeners haven't heard all of your thoughts. So definitely Scott Gunn, we'll hear your thoughts on what you took on the game, but then also Jason, once they do that, then everybody kind of will jump in and maybe, you know, if there are any fresh takes or respond to what, you know, Dave, Wes, and Heath were saying on BS and Beer. Okay. Does that make sense, everybody? We're going to try a little podcast versus podcast. So crossover experience where you have to listen.
Let's do it. I thought that Jameis looked good. He looked very poised. He looked in control of the offense. I noticed him going through his progressions very well. Taysom did okay. I thought that he looked not as in control of the offense, even though he didn't have a bad game, I would say. I still think he's having trouble going through his reads as quickly as Jameis is. A lot of his passes that he completed for bigger plays were his first read. You didn't see him scanning the field as much as you saw Jameis do that. So I think, and I've said before, I think Jameis is going to be the starter. And just based off of that game, I would give the nod to Jameis. And Jameis didn't even play with the ones, really. Mm-hmm. You know, he played with the twos. I expect Jameis probably to start the next game to let him see what he can do with the ones.
Literally, with Callaway.
Yeah. So that jumped out to me. Obviously, Tony Jones jumped out at running back. I don't know if he makes the team or not. Right now, if I had to base it off of that performance, I'd take him over Devonta Freeman.
Okay.
And I thought Juwan Johnson had a very good game. I think he could definitely be a weapon at tight end.
So does Sean Payton.
Yeah. And I hope that they don't play around with him and put him on waivers or anything, because I think somebody would pick him up. Especially if he keeps on having good showings in preseason.
What are we paying for him? How much is he counting against?
He's got to be minimum,
right? So I don't think they would, because they also need the tight end.
I mean the only thing we did, you know, we have him, Troutman, and we signed the guy from Denver.
He stays there, because I think he could be a big weapon. He could be a Jimmy Graham type weapon on this offense.
Well, that's a little
he's a big
optimistic
guy.
He didn't say he's going to be Jimmy Graham.
Was he a basketball player?
He was a receiver,
at
least. So take the basketball piece out of it. This is a receiver playing tight end, and that's what Jimmy Graham claimed to be.
So he's the opposite of Jimmy Graham. He's the anti-Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
But, and then also,
can he
of course,
dunk on a goalpost?
Probably. And I thought Callaway had a good game. He looked and carried himself like a number one receiver.
All right. That's why he's wearing the number.
Yep.
That's what
stood out to me.
Agrees, disagrees, anything's got missed?
No, I feel like, Jameis is a starting NFL quarterback and Taysom is not. And that's all you need. I mean, that's what you see when you see them play. I think that we are going to be excellent running the ball this year.
No matter who's back,
especially early in the season, I think defenses are going to catch up to that as the year goes on. And I thought that Jonathan Vilma and John Stinchcomb were good. I enjoyed them in the booth.
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to like DeMario Davis and
no, I'm talking about the home local kind of like, you know, throw it together broadcast team. Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't get it.
The play-by-play guy was good too, but I don't remember his name.
Well, Joe Myers. He does Joel the Myers. Pelicans TV. Yeah.
Yes, it was the voice of the Pelicans. Yes.
The replay on NFL Network. So I had to watch the replay on NFL Network, and it was the Ravens broadcast. So.
Of course.
Vilma and Stinch are fun.
It was Rod Woodson, a couple other guys.
Well, Vilma is going to be part of one of the Fox crews this year.
Vilma's hooked up with Fox too. Yeah, Vilma's got a gig. It was like preseason for Vilma. But Stenchcomb, I'm not sure where he is, but he's fun. He's good. He's a natural at it too.
Is he better than Streep?
I want to say
he is. He's much better than Streep.
Yeah.
For some reason, I want to say Vilma's on Fox. The SEC network.
I think he's on Fox too. Well, unless he moves.
No, he used to be, but now he's on he's on one of the Fox NFL broadcast teams. I forget who he's with. If it's either Kenny Albert or somebody like that.
He does a good job. Like, I remember
he's a hot commodity on the broadcast market. He does a good job. He's a hot. Yeah.
People. Didn't he do some NFL network desk work for a while as well? He probably did,
but I want to say he did some NFL games last year. I want to say he did one of the Saints Falcons games last year.
He did. Yeah, and remember, Saints fans remember were that. Like, yes, this yes. is awesome. Yeah, while Falcons really fans on Twitter were like, how fucked up is this that they're going to put a Saints player talking there?
It is fun when that works out in your favor instead of against you. It feels like, you know, we'd be watching a Saints versus the 49ers and they'd have, you know, some white guy that played safety for the 49ers for 2 years is the color commentary, and it's like, no, Dallas. It sucks.
I didn't mention the defense looked really good as well.
Well, I was going to ask about how you felt the defensive backs specifically played. And Jason, welcome to the conversation. You can jump. You're allowed to jump in now.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. Okay. We gave them their chance. Defensive backs, you know whose name I haven't heard anybody say anything about relating to this game, and he didn't play a whole lot, was CJGJ. And, you know, I look at it as, you don't say if we're not talking about him, it's because he did a good job. And you were probably, your eyes were glued to, you know, what, Crawley and
he was in my screen a lot. CJGJ? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was looking to see if he was going to get one of these bitch ass taunting penalties. Yeah,
that's too early.
Because I saw they were a few of them this weekend, and they were terrible.
They were ticky tack, man.
They do that in the preseason too when they're trying to emphasize something. They'll call it like a lot in the preseason to kind of warn players. Hey, we're gonna call this, and then the season starts and they don't do shit.
This is just
they did that. What was it a few years ago? Was it pass interference?
I think it was a pass interference thing. Yeah.
It is a stupid rule, Jason.
I mean, yeah, I think the linebackers played really well. That Ellis kid did pretty good, and obviously Bond was kind of a star.
The talk of the town.
Yeah, so that was good to see. I'm interested in, I guess we'll talk about this later.
You're interested in consistency from Zach Bond?
No, I am interested in that, but I'm interested to see how Quan Alexander plays once he gets on the field, and he's getting close.
I'm interested in it. Y'all, our defense, like, if you think about it, so when close it out, statistically, we had the fifth ranked, if I'm not mistaken, defense last year. We were in the top five defense.
That's correct.
Yeah, we were pretty good.
That's pretty good. I don't see us lower than five again.
Well, listen, we did lose some pieces last year, but we've gained a few pieces. But what's obviously... It was encouraging to see Adebo play well. Now, that being said, that's still asking a lot for a rookie to come in. But look,
Lattimore did it. His rookie.
Lattimore was drafted 13th.
Okay.
This kid was drafted 13th. Look, maybe he can come in and really shore up that side, which if that's the case, then yes, I could see that. Now, something that's slightly starting to worry me a little bit is,
when was Tom Brady drafted? 13th?
Fuck Tom Brady.
I'm just wondering because I didn't know draft position
for a corner
directly related to how well someone can play.
Just saying it.
You're not a fan. I got it.
No. And Adebo didn't even play. Adebo also didn't even play last year. So he sat out a year. So he's
already rested.
Well, maybe. But what's
my role is like the nothing's bad, right?
Right.
Jeff's the eternal optimist.
Kind of moving on from the game, one thing that's starting to be a little concerning is that Turner, the law firm of Turner and Werner, they've been injured. They haven't practiced. Neither of them played in the game this past week. It doesn't look like they're still out. It doesn't look like they're going to play this week. So now it's like, well, all right, what's going on, Dr. Nick? Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick. That's 3 weeks in a row.
So that is starting to get a little concerning. It seems like every year the guy's out. All right, he misses a few practice. It's fine. It turns into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you're like, okay, what the fuck's going on? So, I mean, luckily,
young guys,
right?
Who was carted off?
They're both. They're our first two draft picks. They're right, our first two draft picks. So that's the one thing. Now, if Werner and Turner are hurt, I guess Bond's going to come in and play, because Kwan, because considering he's coming off that injury, it'd be smart to not play him full time. It just would. You want him to last.
Especially if you don't have to.
You want him to last the season. So that's right. A good thing that Ellis and Bond appear to have maybe stepped up.
So if you take Onyemata, Michael Thomas, if the, you know, they rehab the relationship, and Kwan, it's almost like our injury. I like having the injuries this early. Or the suspensions this early, because as the season progresses, we actually gain fresh talent rather than lose first string talent.
Well, I would say yes. The only problem with Turner and Werner is that they're both rookies. They need all the practice time.
I hesitate to include them in that, but
just I hope
that they come back before the preseason's over.
I mean, you want to see them, and if they don't play any of the preseason games, then this is not some minor little thing.
Clearly. Yeah. What are you hearing on what their injuries are?
I have not heard.
Oh, have you not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Heard what?
Brian, don't! Well, a bird.
It says, right, what I, minor injuries. we've heard that before.
Arts minor becomes major.
Wasn't Michael Thomas's injury minor? In September?
No, his was diagnosed. Like he was a high ankle sprain. He missed a few games right off the bat.
So, kind of speaking of Michael Thomas, from what Peyton said.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that update yet.
In a press conference this week, that he's ahead of schedule. Yeah, he's ahead of schedule. Michael Thomas is.
I wonder who diagnosed that. So, ahead of schedule.
I don't know. And then I was watching AFR today, and he had a Saints reporter on there. It might have been Triplett.
Probably Triplett, yeah.
And he was saying that you could see Michael Thomas at the end of September.
I mean, depending on where we're at, I don't necessarily want to rush him back after surgery.
Yeah.
I'd rather him get healthy. But, you know, if we're struggling, I could see them wanting to rush him back.
Right. Well, I mean, we're signing Kevin White, so, you know.
I mean, that can't. There's no way he makes a team.
All right. I'm going to jump back over real quick to the quarterback stuff. And Scott, you mentioned Taysom not going through his progressions and whatnot. And then if you listen to the BS and Beer, like they were saying how it almost looks like he's thinking too much.
And he had that same problem last year.
Yeah. He's too, and almost, I'm going to use the word mechanical. Right. He's, I must do this, then I must do that. He went to the school of Breeze, but he's not.
He doesn't look smooth. He doesn't look natural.
Yeah. Which is ironic because Taysom is a natural athlete. You know what I mean? Like when Taysom, maybe he's just not as smart, or I don't know. It's not even a smart thing because he's not a quarterback.
When you take a step back and you look at the
NFL, he's a running back who can throw.
You look at the NFL quarterback situation as a whole, right? And there's what, 15, 13 something good quarterbacks in the league. The line between what a starting competent NFL quarterback is and the guy holding the clipboard is so thin. It's so razor thin. And Taysom is just not that. It's his hesitation. It's why he never has been a quarterback in the league so far. And he had a chance last year in a different scheme that's not our preference, you know. And it's as we've said before, it's time to move him to another position.
So, hypothetically, if Jameis wins the starting position, do you still play Taysom as that? Sometimes tight end, sometimes he lines up at quarterback and runs, sometimes he's a running back kind of position, knowing that he's really your only backup other than Ian Book.
You make Ian Book the backup, and you make Taysom the emergency.
But we're not going to use him on every single play.
I don't see him playing special teams.
Well, he's definitely not going to play special teams, but he's definitely going to play receiver, tight end. I don't know about running back, but he'll come in at quarterback for a few plays.
Yeah.
I still think we'll see that.
And I want him to come in at
quarterback. There could be Jameis to throw for the, what is it again? 5,000, 50, what, how many yards?
He just has to lead
the league.
He's
got to lead the league. He's got to lead the league. More than anybody else. That's it.
It could be possible where you see Jameis and Taysom in the same backfield.
$5,200.
It's 55 plus 5,500.
That's it.
So let me ask you this. Remember?
$5,600.
All things considered, I'm surprised you remembered.
I don't forget those kind of numbers.
Right. With Jameis being young and being more athletic than Breeze was, if y'all remember that, there was plays where Taysom would come in and Drew would kind of go to the, like,
he would play receiver. Yeah, he'd play receiver.
And Drew was like, he's never going to throw me the ball because I'm a slow white guy, basically. Do you see maybe they open it up and throw it to Jameis like that?
I don't think they would want to put their starting quarterback in a position to get hit like that. However, like if it's like end of the year or playoffs and they haven't done it, I could see them pulling it out as like a special play.
Wide open in the corner of the end zone or something. Right,
but I wouldn't see them doing that on the regular. Because
or have him take a step back off the line, have Taysom
and throw it and throw.
Could throw it backwards and throw it down.
You mean like the play we did in the playoffs?
Did we do that in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Drew threw it to Jameis.
And Jameis threw it to
whoever was wide open.
Well, it was supposed to be Deontay, but he got hurt earlier in that game. So he ended up hitting, I believe, Traquan, who had returned.
So you will see some interesting things, but I don't believe you'll see Jameis go out for a pass because we don't want to have him get nailed by a safety.
Peyton always likes to get cute at some point in the game.
I don't think Jameis is going to be running routes.
Yeah.
Unless they're in the end zone.
Sean Payne's offense, every quarterback runs routes.
That's why Jameis was doing that drill the other day when he was.
That's how they learned where to throw it. Right. Running through those Madden allows that.
All right. So, yeah, Taysom is too mechanical. All right. What'd you think of Ian Book? Not really enough, obviously.
He looked like a rookie starting his first game ever in the pros. And you know, you're playing with the third string.
That doesn't help.
There was a lot of penalties. Like every time they go to snap the ball, there was a freaking penalty. It was like to the point where I was getting pissed watching the game because I was like, can we get a playoff, please? Like, can we please just get a freaking playoff?
That's it on the game. We have a couple other questions coming in for looking at tweets and whatnot. So I'm going to move us into a quick fake news headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
First fake news headline I have is, are the roster moves that the Saints have made recently? Y'all mentioned earlier we signed Kevin White. We signed cornerback Brian Mills.
Not Brian Milne.
Hakeem drops the ball! Oh. Hakeem drops the ball! Brian Milne might have fallen and it's a 10-yard line!
You gotta be kidding me!
I love the New Orleans Saints football! Brian Milne, the most unlikely hero of them all! Falls on the fumble, the muff by Hakeem! There is a God after all!
We found a cornerback, Natrell Jamerson.
Former Saints rep pick.
I was going to say, that looks familiar. Offensive lineman Jordan Mills, Caleb Benenich, Jake Lampman was waived. Oh, no more Lamps.
Nope.
Waived Lawrence Woods, waived Michael Brown, waived Adonis Alexander. Oh. And okay, so Prince is still on the team. All right. So for now, tell me if I'm wrong, but is this common that we do something like this? Many additions after a first preseason game? It doesn't feel like that happens to this quantity. You might sign one guy, two guys maybe, but it feels like they really just, yeah, they had like the Labor Day clearance sale at TJ Maxx.
Well, I think they're still looking for some of that cornerback. You know, Peyton
Natrell Jamerson's the guy.
No,
Brian, I mean, they obviously liked him enough to draft him.
I think this is just warm bodies and practice squad candidates.
The problem with Mills is that Brian Mills is that if his daughter might get taken and then he has to go and find her and, you know, he won't be there for the season.
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Is that the character's name?
In Taken, yes.
Yeah.
That's Liam Neeson's character's name in Taken.
Because I only watched the first Taken. I didn't watch the other seven.
It was three.
I know. That was an exaggeration for comedic purposes. Oh, that's right, huh?
Yeah, it just looks like we're kind of just trying to find, it might just be camp bodies at this point, you know, because they're not going to make the team more than likely.
You wouldn't think.
they don't want any more actual starters getting hurt, so they're exactly going to put these guys on the field for practice.
They're just shuffling guys in, shuffling guys out. They're just, you know, yeah, okay, Prince Amakimura is not the guy next, you know, they're doing that, and hopefully some will stick. You know, what if Kevin White turns into a, you know, remember the fucking Titans Disney story, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's not, you're not paying him much, so you never know. And what I liked about Kevin White was he talked to the press today, and one of the things he said was, I'm not doing this for money. If I was doing this for money, I could have retired a long time ago, because he's made a few million, and then apparently done well with it. But he's like, you know, I've had other opportunities to go. He's like, but I love this game. I love playing football, and I'm going to try to play as long as, until this league kicks me out.
A lot of fans only look at when we bring Tatlin in, it has to be an all pro. This is kind of like my soapbox for this whole off season, that we have to have 22 all pros. We have to, every player has to be the best at, they're in the NFL at their position, or else it was a stupid fucking decision. And there only are 22 positions to fill that they're, you know, and again, like, we look at these names that they're bringing in. When you're running an entire NFL team, an entire football team, you've got all the players, you've got your practice squad to build out, because those are the guys that are going to make your team better. So maybe that's the move here. And so, and not every move has to be, oh, this guy's taking us to the promised land.
Also, because there's none of those guys out there at this point.
Correct.
There's nobody you're going to find right now.
Fans' reactions. And
right. There's nobody you're going to find out there right now, outside of being a trade, that's going to do anything like that.
And do y'all think that they might still make a trade?
I don't think so. Unless they're looking to get rid of the player.
You got to see how final cuts shake out from everybody at the end of preseason. And maybe you can pick something up there.
Right. If you thought we were picking up a lot of players now off the scrap heap, just right. wait till that happens.
I know he has his issues, but Josh Gordon's out there.
Not we even prefer close the leadership to Kevin White. Kevin White.
But you could look, you could get him really cheap, and he could be a
not leadership, Scott, leadership.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't want that guy in our locker room.
I don't want Kevin. I don't want Josh Gordon on my team.
You remember all those post-game videos where they have the fog machine? Yeah, it won't be fog.
And to Gunn's point earlier, are we going to sign a kicker this week or what?
We don't have to sign a kicker until week one.
We got Taysom.
We're just going to wait until Baltimore cuts their kicker, and that's
maybe Kevin White.
I think that's what they're waiting for.
Well, look, I could see that, but then also it gives the offense chances to run the 2-point plays during the preseason. Nothing wrong with that.
But I mean, what about like for field goals? They're just going to go for it on fourth.
Just go for it. I mean, we need to see what our quarterbacks can do on fourth down, right?
In week three of preseason, we're just going to kick field goals. We're going to get down to the 32 and go, okay, first down, kick field goal. We're going to make up for it. We're going to have field goal drills week three preseason. Take the under.
Can I tell you something fucking annoying?
Uh-oh.
I've had this NOLA.com webpage up since before we started recording, almost 40 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago. And now, all of a sudden, an ad decides to play loudly. Even though I had everything muted, it unmuted itself to play a fucking ad for me. Fuck
I heard
you,
something. I heard something. I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Like, I had to go mute the tab because I can't find where the damn video is. It's some bullshit. Like, I don't mind ads. Don't get me wrong.
Are you a subscriber to
NOLA.com? No, that's probably
I bet
why.
You they still play those kind of ads for their subscribers too, though. I bet they're like, cool, thanks for your $10 and here's your random volume ad.
And that's what really grinds my gears.
The Athletic is on par with NOLA.com, in my opinion.
Okay.
The Athletic is maybe even greater than NOLA.com. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't feel like Peter Finney or Brian Ali Walsh would have ever been like live tweeting their airport experience on road trips, but they're human and today's different. So part of 21st century media journalists, even from establishment, like we talked about on my show last week, radio, you know, legacy media types acting differently or trying to be what they're not. So it's not uncommon to see them being active on social media. I don't have a problem with any of them.
The only thing that I'll say,
that, you know what, that is fair because it's their personal Twitter.
It's their personal shit.
Not,
and some people were going on there and they were being shitty to them, like, I don't care about the airport bathrooms. Talk about fourth string linebackers.
Yeah, I'll do that on my post where all the ads are.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
As a media personality, I reserve the right to just, you know, post some photos of my cat.
Oh, jeez. The only thing that I'll say about the local media that I don't care for is that nobody ever really, I don't know about challenges, but nobody ever calls the Saints out on their bullshit. Nobody does. Everybody,
because they can cut your access.
Whatever. Yeah. But okay. Then you're not. I mean, that's part of being a journalist is to call everything.
That's what we're here for, Jason. That's what the independent podcasters are in today's modern society. Your paid journalists, to Gunn's point, have to. They're more part of the marketing.
No, there are journalists in other cities that actually will call out their teams, but all the journalists here,
when their teams suck.
No, even when your team is good, they still do things that deserve to be called out on, and nobody here ever calls the Saints out on any of their bullshit. How about the fact that they're not offering refunds to ticket holders after
that's actually the NOLA.com article they're now requiring either the
vaccine or the negative test, which is fine, but they just announced this here when our money was all due back in May. Okay. Some people aren't comfortable going in there. And the fact that they're not going to offer any refunds is pretty shitty. And nobody was really calling them out for it.
So do you, Amy just in a way,
she did. Just did it.
She just, did. she oh, did just she? Did. Well, in a roundabout way, not directly.
Oh, okay. But that's my point.
What do you want her to say? Fuck the Saints for not giving mother.
I'm not
money
saying
back?
Fuck See, the Saints, but she,
Buddy
but she
D
come
tried
out,
that. Buddy D tried that. And they said, fuck they you. Channel 6 will not be coming into the airline drive. And then he got exiled to WWL.
So again, the local media is part of the marketing and PR machine of the Saints, which gives way to the independent podcasters like us, who are not paid, not by sponsors, not by listeners' donations. And the fact that we're not being paid allows us to express our opinions freely. You get to shit all over the Saints all that like you like to, Jason, because you don't think there's any accountability, and you're going to make sure that you say that. You can't do that if you work for NOLA.com or The Athletic or WWL. Scott, you can shit all over Jameis Winston just like you like to, because nobody's going to take your
like
money
the shit
access
on
away.
Jameis.
He only likes to shit in suitcases like Armand.
Right. Yes. Right.
He's going to shit when he realizes it's shit. Who got the light?
I tell you, when it all comes down, when the Dome Patrol podcast ends up becoming the Saints' preferred podcast network and they're paying us millions of dollars, I'm the only one they're going to allow access because I'm the eternal optimist.
I guess we need at least one.
There you go. All right. No. All right. So seriously, though, the headline, Amy Just, NOLA.com. Jeff, this is the headline. Jeff Landry calls upon lawmakers to withhold Saints funding until team changes ticket.
Jeff Landry is just a fucking
she's reporting.
Jeff Landry's a fucking idiot.
But have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Grandstanding.
So, sure. So because they're not offering the refund, he is suggesting that any request for money to even improve on the Superdome, that's not even a Saints only thing, even though the Saints are primary.
It's majority Saints.
Right. But every like basically dry up the well, stop funding anything to do with the Saints or the Superdome until they reverse their position.
Well, have fun, which have fun, either, have fun being the Austin Saints,
right? Which is either ease up on the vaccination mask policy to attend the game or offer refunds for tickets.
He says something like this to gain credits with his base. And then he will never follow through on this.
Right. Yeah. Because his base are definitely the no mask.
They're going to go, all right. Yeah. Right. Don't. Now, pay. I mean, like, I'm getting confused by you describing, like, if because the Superdome is requiring immunizations and people, I mean, just sell your tickets if you don't want to go.
Well, that's what the Saints suggested. Yeah. Honestly, you get more money than well, get the refund.
That's what they say. Winning. And I do think the Saints should offer refunds to people. Like, I talked to my dad last night, and he's got 4 tickets, and he's like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, he's vaccinated.
Why should you get a refund if the only thing they're asking you to do is wear a fucking mask?
But I think to Jason's point, it brings up something much more interesting. Are the Saints, I mean, because it would, I would think that the Saints would say, yeah, give us your tickets back. We can sell them for more, because I'm believing that the demand is more than 100%. I'm believing that there's a significant demand. There's pent up demand. We've had a waiting list for over a decade now. So the question is, are the Saints that worried about attendance that they'd go, nope, if you're not coming, you're still paying for your ticket, that they're taking that hardline stance? Because I would think that there's demand, and the Saints, it'd be to their financial advantage and the ethically right thing to do, would go, okay, yeah, give us your tickets back. No problem. Here's your refund. We're going to go sell them for more. Mm-hmm. I believe
do you,
that.
Do
I
don't you know lose why I don't... your right to that ticket next year too?
No. You should jump right. It would be just
in Gunn's world. If Gunn's right in the policy here, we are going to give the refund. So Jason, let's say you say, fuck this, I want my money back. You give up Section 628 tickets next year.
It's 648.
Or 648. Next year, you don't get offered 648 anymore. You're back in line.
Well, then I wouldn't give them up, but
I think to Jason's point, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's more upset that they announced this after the money was already due.
Right. Hey, the money's been due for 3 months when we weren't sure what's going on. And there's still a global fucking pandemic. Like, to be so strict about this, like, to not be reasonable. Look, I'm going to go to the games. I don't have an issue with it, but I could see other people like my dad, like, yes, he's vaccinated, but you got people going in. You got people talking about faking their vaccination cards, or even though you still have unvaccinated people in there. And even though they're going to say you have to wear a mask, how can they enforce it? Because you know people are going to take off their mask. It's a potential being indoors. Some people may not be comfortable. I'm okay with it, but some people, especially him. I mean, he's 70.
Superdome. Somebody, one of those people has COVID.
You know, I mean, he's 70. Right, he's 70 years old. It's like some people may not be comfortable with that. So if that's the case, you got to at least give him an option, not just you say, no refund. If you want to sell them, you got to sell them on your own. Now, granted, you've got Green Bay, you've got Tampa, you've got a few games where you can probably make up what you paid for the season.
Oh, the Buffalo game. That's a big ticket game.
The Buffalo game would be a big game. Yeah. Yeah. So there are a handful of games that you could make your money back.
Well, but I don't understand why they would change the policy after they had it last year to where you could get your money back, because
they're not going to get refunds twice.
Nothing. I know they don't want to, but we're still in the same.
Nothing is changed in the same spot last year.
So anyway, I mean, I think the Saints may change this, because as of now, I believe they're the only team that's not offering a refund at the moment that is actually requiring either the vaccine.
They already have third-party ticket distributor partnerships in place. I don't understand why they don't want to sell them tickets themselves.
By leaving us to sell them on like SeatGeek, they get a cut of that. Like, you know, like if I sell them on SeatGeek, I only get like 90% of the ticket. The SeatGeek and the Saints keep the rest.
You can sell it higher than
so they get free money without having to do it.
Sell it higher than Facebook.
Yeah, but they don't have to do anything. They don't have to sell it.
They also get consumers to buy their beer and popcorn and all that other crap at the game. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's in Jason's best interest to sell it on SeatGeek anyway, because he wants to keep his right of refusal for next season.
Well, I'm also not going to sell my tickets. I'm going every.
No, but I'm using
you. But right, I see what you're saying. But you still have to go through the process and do it. Not that it's hard, but you still got to do it.
I got a headline for you.
Okay.
Did you see the award we won the other day? Saints fans, NFL fans who spend the most money on alcohol. And the Saints were at the top of the list with an average of $64.81 per household.
And look, I get it, because I don't drink a lot at the games anymore, but when I do, I easily spend $60. Easy.
Oh, when I used to drink at the games, it was $80 to $100.
And that's for two drinks.
I maybe have two beers instead of the usual 15 because of the price. I mean, if you really get nail it down, like, what is it, $9 a beer or something?
Oh no, it's definitely up to 10 at this point.
$10 a beer. I can get a six pack for less than that.
You can.
I mean, yeah. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, like, look, man.
And you know, it's Natural Light being pumped through a keg with a Miller Lite stick on it, right?
That would be scandalous.
I'll tell you this: no Miller Lite that I've ever bought at the grocery store tastes like the beer flavored water that comes out of the Superdome tap.
Don't foam, baby.
It's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good.
Yeah, look, I don't drink a ton of the games. It's good. I drink more before the game.
Yeah. Okay. Y'all ready to get on to look at him tweets?
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
All right, so our first tweet comes from Mr. Coach Klein. Yeah. And he was actually the one that asked for the Loki review that we're going to do after. He also asked, are you less worried about our receiving core with what Callaway did against the Ravens?
Callaway helps, but until Thomas gets back, we'll still be shorthanded. Hopefully, I mean, Traquan, you know, we do have Traquan, but if we had Callaway and Traquan, and I mean, I guess we're going to miss. We don't. Harris hadn't been suspended yet, correct? So we may win. We'll probably miss two games from him. If somebody else steps up, you know, maybe we'll be okay. We'll kind of maybe rely on Kamara those first few weeks.
And I think the tight ends come into play with Troutman and Johnson in that aspect where you, and then you got to remember Montgomery. We have Montgomery too playing wide receiver.
Just got to hope we don't get any more injuries.
Yeah, we're just gonna have to piece it together, really, until.
But looking at it, if you've got Traquan and Callaway as your one and two, I do feel better now.
I don't trust
now.
Traquan as far as I could throw.
I don't either. I don't either. But I mean,
he can block.
Got little Jordan.
Still little Jordan. I do feel better after watching Callaway in the first preseason game.
Yeah, he really looked the part of a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you feel a little bit better about it.
Yes.
Just still can't wait for Michael Thomas to get back. Speaking of, that was the other kind of headline-y type thing. Following up on that beat, on that story, we had a big extensive conversation last week about it. And then over the course of the last few days, we got the tweet that said that they were working on mending their relationship and things were going to get better. You believe it?
Well, he went to the game. You know, he was on the sideline during the game. That's a step in the right direction. You know, most injured players don't even travel with the team during the regular season, much less during the preseason. So whether it was a goodwill gesture, whether he was asked to do it, whatever, he didn't have to do it, but he did. So it's a step in the right direction, I would say.
And they didn't have to ask him either.
No.
Yeah, so, I'd like to believe it, because I don't think the Saints don't want to get rid of him. I don't believe they want to get rid of him at all. Obviously, they've had some of their issues, but they realize they're a lot better with him than without him.
It's also possible that we all blew it out of proportion a little more than it really was. Maybe his cryptic tweets were directed at the media and not Sean Payton.
Good, they should. Call out the media, because the media ain't calling out the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, roasted.
I don't know. I still think some of it might have been directed at him. It might have just been, I'm going to do whatever I want to do or say what I want to say until Peyton calls me in his office and we can talk. And then they did that, and hopefully it's squashed.
Maybe so.
You know, until Thomas gets another diva moment and blows up and punches somebody at practice. You know? And I'm hoping that he's taken, that he'll, and I think he will. I think he'll take his rehab seriously and hopefully come back sooner rather than later.
Well, I like to think so. He's one of the highest paid guys on the team.
And if he's still that competitor, that guy who desires to be the best of the best, he will.
And maybe Peyton told him, look, we're not trading you. So cut the crap.
Grow up.
Mm-hmm. Man up, right?
You're getting paid. You're getting paid too much money to be acting like this.
Well, yeah, again, like he's like, hey,
dude. We could restructure.
It's like, hey, dude, you're one of the leaders on the team. You know, man up, be a leader.
Drew's not here. It's all about you now.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So all the other tweets that we got were either Wes and Dave messing with us, or and then they did have one question to you, Scott. Did you see that one?
I did not.
So I think it was Hungry Hoodat says, why does Scott try so hard to be a Damon now?
Because he was Damon.
I asked him to elaborate to see, like, specifically what do you mean by that? Only thing I can think of is after last week's episode with the big debate over Jameis Winston and the yelling and the fighting and the arguing and all that kind of stuff, which everybody don't worry. Mom and dad are not fighting. Everybody's fine. It was a,
I am not trying to be anything other than me. That was my honest opinion. We disagreed about it and I yelled. And
we were,
that's it. Yeah, I'm not gonna sit there and, you know, start ripping into people and calling them names and crap like that, but I'm gonna give you my opinion. You can take it or leave it. I'm gonna voice my opinion. You can take it or leave it. And if you disagree with me, I'm gonna try to prove my point, just like Jeff tries to prove his point or Jason tries to prove his point.
To be clear to everybody, Scott was never anti Winston. He was never rooting against Winston. Like I asked you last week, are you rooting against him? And you said, no, I want him to be successful. And then look at your first statement on last week's game. I thought Winston played good, and we have that recorded and we'll play that forever. So yes. So don't worry, everybody.
If he does well this week, I'll say the same thing. If he shits the bed, I'm going to tell you he shit the bed.
He's going to shit when he realizes it's shit. Who got the lighter?
I'm just going to call it like I see it. I ain't trying to be Damon. I can promise you that.
All right. And then the other next question was, I think somebody wanted to ask how much it costs to listen to each episode of our podcast. And the answer is nothing. The Dome Patrol podcast and all of our shows on the Dome Patrol podcast cost nothing. We never ask our listeners for donations. Okay. So,
but if you want to donate, no, I'm joking.
Come on now.
I'm not gonna lie. Somebody hands me a check, I'm gonna cash it. That's all.
I'm saying. Don't make it hard for people to give you money. Right?
Never.
No, we don't. We won't take your money. We'll take sponsor money. If you want to sponsor the show, we will sell out for that.
Yes,
but we won't ask.
I have no problem. You know,
or if you want to come
product,
or if you want to come buy us a drink at the game, feel free.
Speaking of, we need to start telling people that we're going to be in Tennessee for the Tennessee Saints game, you know, barring any travel restrictions.
Not in Tennessee.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right. Outdoors, we're good.
That's right. So when we get closer to that, we'll arrange a meetup of sorts at some local bar, maybe Saturday night, watch the LSU game or something like that.
And it's really pretty much all of us stateside.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
100% Dome Patrol Network attendance.
Dave says he might be going from PSM.
Dave said he's coming.
He's going. All right. Yeah. So it's Jason, Gunn, Jeff, me, Dave, Wes. We'll all be there.
Yep.
We already got our tickets purchased for the game. We've already booked hotels. We've already bought flights. So
that's it. We're going to video conference in the UK guys at some point.
Look, guys, where we are.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some live stream updates.
When we wake up Saturday morning after drinking all night Friday. Hey, fellas!
Yeah, right. All right. Outside of those things, the next thing would be a Loki conversation. So we are at the end of the Saints portion of the show. So I'm going to offer, Scott, you have any final thoughts?
Just a reminder, Saints play Monday night this week against Jacksonville. We didn't really do a game preview, which we usually don't do on preseason, but it will be interesting from Jacksonville's perspective to have, you know, you got Urban Meyer coming in. You've got
Trevor Lawrence,
who doesn't play well in the dome.
Travis Etienne.
You don't have Tim Tebow.
No, them. Etienne. There's a couple of DJ Chark.
DJ Chark.
LSU guys coming in. So it'll be good to see the Jacksonville too. So, and what they are bringing to the table this year.
Hey, Gunn, final thoughts.
Don't know who's going to kick, but I'm excited for Monday.
I love how like none of us are, except you are, seem to be like latching on to the fact that we don't have a kicker, but this is not the first time the Saints have not had a kicker in preseason, if I'm not mistaken.
When was the other time, Jeff?
Sean Payton. I thought with the whole Carney fiasco, or
Baba Booey tweeted thing, that it was like 130 hours to kick off and we don't have a kicker.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call everybody Baba Booey. You'll never know which one I'm talking about. I'm gonna call Cat Terrell Baba Booey. That's my final thought.
All right, Jason, your final thought.
Stay healthy. That's it.
Don't forget, after the credits, we're gonna have a spoiler-filled review of the entire Loki season on Disney Plus. So if you are a Loki fan, if you are an MCU fan, and you saw Loki, tune in, stick around, see what we thought about the show. If not, don't listen. Come back later after you watched it. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. By the way, if you haven't noticed, you can follow all of us on Twitter. We are at Dome Patrol PCast. There is also Dome Patrol UK. There's BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and Tiger_podcast. And there's actually a new Twitter account as part of the Dome Patrol network. I think it's called at Dome Patrol Prem, P-R-E-M, as in the Premier League, not Dome Patrol Premium, as though you have to pay for access, special access to the show.
It'd be a shitty Twitter account.
when you see Dome Patrol Prem, right? It's, think of it, it's Premier League Soccer. It's not that we're trying to make you pay for premium content. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcasts. And if you want to listen to us the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Back out.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, kicker donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
All right, everybody, and now it is time for our special MCU DPU Loki review with Jason, Gunn, Scott, Jeff, and you.
Hey, hey, you kept it going,
right?
Kept the rhyming. I mean, you
were talking about the TVU, or what is it? What's the time variant authority? TVA.
TVA. Damn, that wouldn't work. It's all right.
All right.
At least you tried.
Yeah. So we all saw Loki. Quick first question. Now we have now seen WandaVision. We've seen Captain America Winter Soldier. We've seen Loki. Rank these first three MCU series from your favorite to your least favorite, even if it is like from a 10 to a 9.9 to a
9.95. Oh, great. I thought you were going to do 1-2-3 rating. Like, what are we like then?
Yeah, I'm going to say that I like WandaVision the most, followed by Falcon and Winter Soldier, followed by Loki.
Okay, everybody agree? Anybody disagree with that?
I'm going to go Loki, WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
I go WandaVision, Loki, Falcon, Winter Soldier.
Ah, so Jason and Scott like the, but at least it's, you like the mystical or the mystery type show where you're trying to figure it out, where Falcon and Winter Soldier is your more kind of just action show.
And it's not that I disliked, I mean, I enjoyed all three. Mm-hmm. You know, I did like the slight, like the added mystery of like, oh, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Yeah.
Right. There wasn't quite as much of that in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And Falcon and Winter Soldier was more like a long movie they just chopped up. Whereas these other series were more like televisions with cliffhangers and stuff like that. So I did like, those felt more like TV shows to me.
Okay.
So it's
kind of, and I mean, and it,
if you look at like WandaVision, I mean, I remember watching it with you guys for like, what was it, Monty Gras that we watched it? And, you know, it was the one where the brother shows up at the end. And we were all like, holy shit. Like, if it blew our mind that, you know, we thought that they had just brought the mutants to the MCU. Like, and nobody knew until the next, you know, week or two.
And
that,
they didn't. And
right.
They didn't.
But Ralph, I mean, it was, Boner.
It was talked about every week. It, the episodes would come on and it'd be trending on Twitter and talked about it, talked about
but
it. Talked
I'm fine. I'm fine. We didn't get that with Loki.
Right.
I wonder why. But, and the other thing is Loki and WandaVision both feel like they were a lot more plugged into the MCU main story arc, phase four, whatever, where Falcon and Winter Soldier was more of a transition from Steve Rogers to Anthony Mackie.
Look, well, here's the thing. If you remember, that show was supposed to come out first. When COVID happened, you know, it got delayed because of COVID, but then WandaVision was able to finish. That was supposed to be the first one out, which would have been your kind of conversion from.
And then let's start telling phase four. Right.
That's kind of why it seemed that way.
It seemed like to me, like as a series experience, WandaVision was this quirky, you know, interestingly shot, well-produced, snazzy. I mean, like, think about like the outros.
It was pretty clever.
It was like a Tarantino, you know?
Yeah.
It was clever. And then you had, like Jason said, Falcon and Winter Soldier felt like a big movie. And it did, but it felt like a good big movie that checked all the boxes that it needed, like hit all the home runs. Yes. And it was good. It was like a good big movie.
Yes.
And then for me, Loki just missed.
See, I disagree just missed on that.
Several.
I enjoyed Loki a lot for what it was, but I am also a big sucker for time travel, for one. So you got me. and I also I've always, ever since the MCU introduced the multiverse, I just absolutely love it. I love it. And I like I actually did not like episode one of Loki as much, even though I knew it had to be done, because it was basically Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston sitting in a room talking for 30 minutes. It felt like, you know what I mean? It was all dialogue. And then the action came in episode two or so. But I don't know. I feel like Loki was a little more cerebral. Just because it was some big concepts that they had to explain and make sense of.
I mean, that is the one thing, like Loki was tasked on opening the door to where like a lot of these, like the Doctor Strange movie, the Spider-Man movie, even What If, like it was really tasked with opening it up to everything. So it had a lot on its shoulders.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. It did.
And I think, you know, you really brought the multiverse in with Loki. You brought those opportunities to bring in the other characters, to possibly bring in X-Men later. Like, it's the gateway to what you want to do in the future. Like, you had to have that kind of thing. And instead of doing a movie, you do it into a series, which I think was smart because you're getting people to watch the TV show. Like, you have to watch the show to understand what's going to happen later on in the movies. Like, I guess you could probably skip it, but you would have more detail and you'll understand more what's going on.
And you think about it, to explain such a complex layered thing about like this time, main timeline and alternate timelines, alternate universes, like this is like deep level string theory that you're not dumbing down, but you do have to make it explainable to even a 13-year-old, right? All the way up to anybody else. And think about it, to your point, Scott, I agree. Like, being a series, you gave yourself like 6 hours to do that instead of 1.5 or 2, because now you could tell that in a longer form and you can illustrate that.
Well, and it was also great to get to watch Tom Hiddleston and really get he's so great as that character, and to spend so much more time with him in a series than really, if you look at over the course of however many movies he was in, he really wasn't in it a ton. not like this. So to get to spend all that time with him, I thought was great. He plays the character so well.
And the show didn't go where I thought it was going to go. I thought it was going. I'm not saying it was bad because I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I thought that I really thought that each episode would be more about kind of Loki's misadventures throughout time, almost
like that he was gonna
jump around the time and
to
like
be mischievous,
get more power. But right, he's yeah,
they did the DB Cooper thing, which was brilliant, yes. And they did nothing else with that.
Well, yeah. Which I seem to recall in some of the early promos, they're like, oh, he's walking around in the 70s and there's a movie marquee with Jaws on it. So it's like, oh, he's in the 70s for some
reason.
And that's at the core of my disappointment is sometimes we just take what we're given and go, oh, that's great, when it could have been so much more. Like female Loki, for example, I thought she sucked. I thought she sucked. I mean, alligator Loki, that's clever. But look at what they did in Suicide Squad, James Gunn's new Suicide Squad, with the weasel. The weasel's on screen for, I mean, James Gunn knows how to do, you know, the animated
animal
CGI, shit.
Wait, alien that wasn't stuff. Real?
Right. The weasel, I want to see more. I want the weasel to get his own movie.
But that's exactly what you do, right? You leave them wanting more rather than over serving them.
That's the best animal and animated shit they could come up with is a fucking Loki alligator.
I mean, he was pretty good. He drank wine like a champ.
Wasn't that from the comics, the Loki alligator?
I think he was. All of those were from the comics.
Right.
And I think classic Loki, like, I got to tell you, as far as all three series, that scene when classic Loki conjured up Asgard to distract the, what is it? The Leviathan. I don't know what the creature's name was.
Elioth or something like that.
Yeah. Like that for, I don't know why, but watching that was like goosebumps. It was amazing. It was so well done. And I think part of what made it so great was everything that built up to it, but also you had classic Loki in the old man, right? Loki,
ridiculous,
you
know,
ridiculous costume. And which is an original, all your comic book fans are like geeking out over it because that's the costume from the original Loki or whatever. So that's why they refer to him as classic Loki. And again, when you look at him, so unassuming, yet the most powerful Loki, and he does this great thing, which is also, if you look at his storyline, the scenes before that where he was talking about what got him, whatever his mistake that got him caught, right, was he did whatever he did, and then he went and put himself in exile for however long, and when he first came out of exile, that was his deviation, his variance that got him caught. He was a coward. He was never a hero, right? And so this, you gave him this redemption. I mean, oh my God, I thought like just the writing, the story lines, like the concepts, I thought they delivered. I thought they gave us a really good thick story with not all characters had as great of a storyline. I think, yeah, like female Loki, Sylvie, it was fine, I guess, but I took that to be more, that was, they gave us that in the beginning to set us in that mindset that not every multiverse variance is going to be an identical thing, right? Which then later on, when you see the alligator and you see the kid Loki and you see classic Loki, it's not as, you know, there's no more Tom Hiddleston.
It's just, right. It's not all Tom Hiddleston's. I mean, the one thing, you know, they kind of had to do was, because the Loki at the beginning of this was straight from Avengers, he was still really a villain. Whereas in the main timeline, right before he died, he had gone through the transformation in Ragnarok and gotten to a point and kind of grew. So they had to go back and basically do all that over again. So now at the end of the series, he's basically where he was when he died at the hands of Thanos. Yeah.
And you know, where they could have done, like we talked about him jumping around time and done kind of like a fun kind of thing, when you see how they did do it, it was needed to be done in order to move the storyline and to open up the multiverse and to do what they wanted to do. And then his story is still not done. There's going to be a season 2. So
yeah, now that's going to be interesting.
He's right? got to eventually end up on the same planet from Love and Ragnarok, right? Where Hulk was.
I think you're looking at a different timeline.
That was the sacred timeline.
He's in a completely different timeline. You're right.
Supposedly he's going to show up in Doctor Strange 2.
But he still has to show up.
Where does he doesn't have to show up anywhere. No, this is a whole different timeline.
But he didn't have to show up anywhere.
Right, but this isn't that timeline.
But so once, Ragnarok never once happened.
Ragnarok happened, and he died. I mean, he already died in that time.
Yeah, he died in an alternate timeline. What you
right, but later in the future, not where he was in that time.
What do you mean?
Right, okay, future? Right, time but that has, right when he took the Tesseract, he moved out, but that was a different timeline.
And that was
in the sacred timeline, he never left.
Timelines fuck me up.
Yeah. Time travel.
It messes you up.
As the Hulk, time travel.
Mind boggling, isn't it?
Right. So I know Wes had.
Yeah. So wait, I'm sorry. Okay. So the Thanos timeline was what we thought was quote unquote, let's use the phrase sacred timeline, but it wasn't then, because if that is the timeline that Loki, that's the timeline we've been watching, but it's not the sacred timeline, because Loki died in it.
Well, no, that was the sacred timeline.
No, I don't think it was, because Loki died in it.
No, everything that we have seen up through Endgame, that was the sacred timeline.
So Loki died in the sacred timeline.
Yes.
So it's then when Loki, timeline. So but Kang or not Kang, the He Who Remains,
right.
had the sacred timeline.
Right, but well, Loki Scott's was
right then. If that's right. all,
say, no. Stop. Loki was no longer on a timeline. He was in the TVA. He was no longer on the timeline.
Okay, so he would have had to re-inject into the sacred timeline to die
somewhere. Right. That's what he offered him at the end.
That's what I was saying.
If he would have came back, he would have injected him somewhere back into the sacred timeline.
But he didn't.
Well, yeah.
But at some point, he has to, though, right?
No, he doesn't have. I don't know what. No, it's a multiverse right, actually. Now. No, he doesn't. He doesn't have to go back to the sacred timeline. We have a multiverse. Then
you can't
now.
Explain why he was there. In
Infinite, what do you mean, why he was there?
Whatever.
Why was he there in Ragnarok?
Why was he there?
Ragnarok was the sacred. That was the sacred timeline. He died in the sacred timeline.
Right. So if he disappeared,
which was further in the future than where he was.
Ragnarok was before Civil. What was it? What was the episode? No. He took the Tesseract and disappeared. What movie was that?
That was after that.
That was the first Avengers.
Ragnarok was after that.
Right. When he left, he created a separate branch. Whereas the rest of the Avengers time traveled back and stayed on the sacred timeline.
No, because the branch that he disappeared to with the Tesseract was the sacred timeline.
Then how did he meet the
fucking He Who Remains at the sacred timeline?
He wasn't on a timeline. He was in the, if you're in the TVA, you're not part of the quote unquote timeline.
Okay. And then he met He Who Remains at the end of the sacred
timeline. Right. At the end of time. Right. At the end of time. But they weren't technically on the timeline.
Okay. So variant Loki, that basically when he disappeared, he became a variant Loki.
Yeah.
We watched six episodes of a variant.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I have guns medication, but time travel, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the other thing I love is, if you really think about the whole MCU, Loki is all, and it's perfect, God of Mischief, but it's when we get these big bads, he's always the guy who brings it out. Like Loki brought us Thanos. I always get that wrong. Now Loki's brought us Kang. Loki is the deliverer. The Rick Moranis of
the
MCU.
Which again, we haven't seen quote unquote Kang. We've seen a variant of Kang. That's who we saw.
Now Kang's supposed to show up in Doctor Strange.
Well, he's definitely gonna show up in Ant-Man. It seems like he would probably show up in Doctor Strange.
So there's a theory that there's gonna be two variants of Kang, like there's going to be two Kangs in phase four, for example.
I think there's probably going to be more than two.
I think you end up confusing the Kang-a-lings. I think you got to keep things a little simple for the population. So I think there's going to be two representative of the fact that there are an infinite number, but I think we're going to end up, and maybe there's three to begin with, but I think you're going to have like protagonist, antagonist, and I think the Avengers are going to work with one of the Kangs against evil Kang.
Huh, I could see that.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Owen Wilson was fantastic in Loki as well.
He was good.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
It was good.
Wow.
It's been a while since I've seen Owen Wilson in anything.
Right? He kind of took a little bit of a break.
Yeah. I don't think he was as good a secondary character as Catherine Hahn was in WandaVision, though.
I thought he was just as good. I didn't
like, I could see Catherine Hahn like winning awards for that performance. Elizabeth Olsen as well. But I don't see Owen Wilson winning any awards.
Right, but he was also playing the straight guy in a suit. I mean, I'm just not really going to get a lot of awards.
Just telling you.
Okay.
Owen Wilson played Owen Wilson as Morbius or whatever his name is. Mobius.
Yeah. You have certain actors that no matter what role they play, they're
themselves. Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Tom Cruise, kind of, except for Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I thought the chemistry between him and Hiddleston was really good.
Dwayne Johnson.
So now it's interesting that after getting sent back, it appears that TVA is now run by Kang and Mobius doesn't know who Loki is. So now they're going to have to relearn each other again.
So that's season two, right? I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So are we not getting a WandaVision season two?
Not
that's done.
That I know of, yeah.
So, which means they parked Catherine Hahn. I think she comes into like the movies.
She might, and I think Elizabeth Olsen is supposed to be in Doctor Strange.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Jason.
Yeah.
Since the sacred timeline has been splintered off, and I guess no longer exists.
That still exists.
Well, it still exists, but now there are a bunch of other timelines.
Think of it as the tree trunk. Think of it as the tree trunk, and now you've got branches all along.
Could Scarlett Johansson come back? I mean, maybe not after suing Disney, but and Marvel.
I think yes. Black Widow. They could bring Black Widow back they could bring anybody. They can do anything.
The whole point. Yeah, the whole point of the multiverse. The whole idea. Is that lets you change out the actors and actresses that play
specific. Yeah, it's
the whole the whole reason why we have a multiverse, why Loki is a season.
Well, that in the comic books did it.
Yeah.
But in Hollywood, now we can explain aging. Now we can explain different.
We can explain why we have.
We can sell, and you know, we can sell this on Netflix, and we can sell this over here, and we can have movies, and we can have series, and we can.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see.
It's how you get new people to reprise or to play roles or whatever. And
I'm interested to see how Shang-Chi fits into everything.
I keep forgetting that, and I am. It's funny because like when all the announcements came out, what was coming? Shang-Chi was the one I might have been least interested. That and the Eternals were the two that I was kind of like, what? And only because I knew nothing, and I'm one of those, I guess, who was rooted in it's Iron Man, it's Captain America, it's Thor, it's Hulk, it's the originals. But I saw the preview when we went and saw Black Widow, the preview for Shang-Chi.
It looks good.
I'm just like, this is going to be an awesome fucking movie. Like, I can't wait. This is one I'm actually looking forward to the most now.
And it has like Abomination in it, which is pretty
Abomination's
cool.
in it, Wong is in it.
And the actor for Shang-Chi is the guy from Kim's Convenience on Netflix. Y'all probably don't watch that. It's like a sitcom-y type show. It's actually quite funny. And he plays the son on that. So he plays like a comedy, a sitcom, and now he's going to be Shang-Chi. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it.
I want to definitely see it. Jeff, have you seen, have you watched The What Ifs?
I saw the first one, and actually, after editing and publishing, I might not be able to watch the next one until tomorrow.
I watched it tonight. It's good.
Yeah. This week's is really good. Really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. Any final thoughts on Loki, anybody?
Ready for season two?
I enjoyed it, and I know the MCU to TV series experiment. It's had its up and downs. They've learned a little bit here and there, but I'm excited going forward. We've got Hawkeye, I believe, in November, which will be the next one. So then we'll have Miss Marvel and then She-Hulk coming. So I'm excited that it gives us a lot more content.
And it introduces, you know, it's introducing new characters. I think one of the big things, and I know I said Captain America Winter Soldier is last on my list, but it introduced Sam as the next Captain America, which that scene where he comes out with the suit at the end was like awesome, like goosebumps.
Yeah.
Awesome scene.
Yeah, that was
pretty cool. The wings too, right? And yeah. He's got a flying Captain America.
And you know? He has, today came out, he signed on to play Captain America in the movies.
Yeah, there's so, a four, right?
A four. So that's awesome. Just make sure they put Tony's in there instead of Old Bay and the Johns.
Seriously, Anthony Mackie, come on. Quick question. So you know how the first three Captain America's movies, or the two Captain America movies, the second two, were almost like Avengers light, right? Or basically Avengers movies because you got everybody in them. Do you think Captain 4 is going to be like that? Or do you think Doctor Strange is going to become the mini Avengers movies?
I don't think you're going to see a mini Avengers movies on the scale of Civil War. I think you may have a one or two other people show up, but it's not going to be a full, because like Civil War had,
yeah,
that was Avengers 0.5. I mean, you had 10, yeah. 11, 12 well, characters. I don't think you're going to
Winter see Soldier, you know, level. You might get four or five characters.
Yeah, no, I at least for the first Captain America, I would assume it's going to be more a story. Like, I would assume Bucky will probably be in it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's going to be pretty standard. I don't think you'll have a big
team. But see, I think you will have more Avengers because the series is just the two of them. You're not getting the multiple Avengers in the series. So when they do a movie, it's got to be bigger. It's got to be, otherwise it's just, I've got six seasons in a movie, you know, kind of concept where the series are just fine. Why make a movie? Unless you're going to bring a bigger thing.
Yeah, I do so.
Maybe.
Anyway. All right. Well, that's all the show we have for you right now. This has been the Dome Patrol Reviews, the MCU. We're going to thank all our listeners for downloading each week and telling all your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts. I'm not going to read them all for this because you just heard it a little while ago. And I will just say, go to domepatrolpodcast.com and listen to it on all your podcast apps. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, he who shall remain donkeys.
Good night, Marvel Universe.